What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm back. Welcome to 2024, Ben.
2024!
First recording of 2024.
It's like a momentous occasion.
Here we go.
Why do New Year's feel so different?
I think it's just such an obvious, it's like the calendar stays the same. Like you change it, you change the numbers every single day, and every now and then you can change the month, but that year number just stays the same forever. And it's like such an obvious starting point. It just feels like a fresh beginning.
I mean, it's so true, but I feel like I'm knowingly having a trick played on me. It's almost like going to the store and having no intention of buying something, and then the salesman is like pitching you on it, and by like the end of it, you're kind of like, okay, I'm sort of into this.
Yeah.
Like, and it's odd because it's not a bad thing in the slightest, but it's like, I think it's amazing to me how aware I can be of how minimal New Year's resolutions might actually like successfully pan out, or like whether or not, like, you know, you can actually like make this change happen in your life or anything. But at the same rate, I put like a lot of opportunity into this basket, like in my mind, where I'm like, you know what, now's the time. If I'm going to start like a new like fitness regime, or if I'm going to find that new hobby finally, or if I'm going to make more time for friends, or, you know, for myself, or self-care, or like, you know,
right,
all the classics, like every single one of them is something that's like, okay, Ben, now is the moment.
No, you know what it is that it's, we've talked about this so many times on the podcast, where like so often you'll like do something as like a little bit of a joke just to sort of be like, what a lark, can you believe it? But actually, seriously, I kind of wanted to try that, you know?
Wasn't it
hilarious how we all bought pickleball rackets and went and played? What a silly sport. Do you guys want to do it again? You
know? Yeah, sure. Should we adopt pickleball as a brand new sport? Which, by the way, thank you for my pickleball racket.
You're welcome. I think that's exactly what it is. Why? It's like, because you're right, there are times when you are really trying, like you'll come up with like an excuse to have like found yourself in a situation where you're like, to like justifies a change in your personality, or you like adopting a new hobby in an unexpected way or something. Like people will, I mean, I know me and you do it. I don't know if everyone does, but yeah, you'll like, but there'll be like sneaky ways you're trying to like introduce a new thing that you hope catches on, or that's like an excuse to try something as if you need one. But like for some reason, people just do. Like there is this like fear of like showing a new side to yourself that people aren't going to recognize, and that people will like, that the people are going to be like, that's not you. That's not how you normally are. I don't like this. You're different now. But New Year's is like, no, this is a free pass. I can try anything because it's New Year's.
Right. Like I can tell you this New Year, new me is because it's a resolution.
It's a resolution.
Like, yeah. Like I'm eating better, not like, you know, not out of nowhere, right, but because there was an opportunity to do it.
Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Exactly. I don't want to make you feel bad. I'm ordering a salad today instead of my usual like hamburger and fries. But like, dude, have you ever felt guilty ordering a salad?
Oh, I don't know about guilty. I think this goes back to, we talked a little bit, like how I really love ordering like appetizers or whatever. Yeah. Like I don't eat a lot of food, and yet like when I go and I'm the one in charge of ordering, I order way too much.
Yeah.
And there's this like for whatever reason, like injected sensation of like scarcity, or like worst case scenarios. I went out and I got food and I'm still hungry afterwards. And then I have to solve it by like, I already went out, and by being out now, I didn't have to eat the food that I was bored of in my cabinet. And now because I'm still hungry, I will have gone out and spent money and will still have to go into the cabinet that I tried to avoid. And so I think like, I think sometimes it's not like necessarily guilty for ordering a salad, and I'm curious as to know why you might feel guilty, because I would say for me, my bigger thing is just the fear that I'm like, if I order a salad, I'm still going to be hungry and I'm going to want more food. And then it's going to be like, oh, you tried to do something healthy, but then you were still hungry. So then you went and ate more food that wasn't healthy anyway.
Right.
The pendulum just swings the other way. But so why do you feel guilty?
Sometimes I would feel guilty. Like we used to go, like if you will go to lunch with a group of people and like, let's say I'm intending to order a salad.
Okay.
And let's say I order, it doesn't even matter, but for the sake of the example, let's say I'm ordering last and you go and you're like, yeah, I'll have a hamburger and some fries. And then the next person goes and they're like, I'll have like the three tacos with the fried fish on it or whatever. And then I'm like, I'd like the harvest salad. And it's like, it's as if like we all kind of agreed we were having lunch,
right?
You know? Yeah, like, and like we ordered like heavy things, and now you've made us look bad or made me feel bad about my decision. I was trying to enjoy this, and now I have to feel a little bad because you ordered. If we all ordered something unhealthy together, there'd be no guilt. But because you opened the door to healthy stuff, now I have to feel a little bad about eating my thing. And so I feel bad for making people feel that way.
I'm on the exact opposite, where if anything, like, you would order the salad, I'm like, well, now I feel indulgent, you know, like, you know, I mean, not because exactly. You ordered this. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but like I think from my end of the spectrum, it's like, oh man, like, you know, he's over there eating a salad and I'm over here eating like a hamburger. Like, you know, I don't know.
You feel good about it then? Like, you're like, oh, I am treating myself.
No. I think I feel the guilt for having ordered like the thing that might seem more tantalizing or whatever whilst you're eating your salad.
Oh, you feel guilty for like putting nice food in front of me.
Yes. Oh, okay. Like, it's like now he's going to have to see the delicious tavern fries that he did not order.
Right. I see. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So maybe I'm on that end of it.
I see.
But I usually do exist in this state of worry that all my decisions are harming somebody at all times anyway.
Right.
So that's probably, you know, like, I don't even know if it's specific to ordering meals. It's usually just like kind of like a part of my existence. So,
right. Yeah. Negative impact at all times.
Right. It's like, I went out and I did something and that probably harmed somebody without realizing it. Right. So I was
trying to have a burger.
Right. So
I mean, it ruined that salad guy's day over there.
Right. Every time I order food, every time I do an action, there's probably someone who I need to seek out and apologize to.
Right.
You know, just to make sure that I'm, you know, I'm covering bases and I recognize the clear harm that I've now inflicted upon you. But no, to answer your question, I don't think I feel guilty about ordering a salad because it it doesn't necessarily come across to me as particularly showy. Like, I think it just seems like, you know, like in keeping with somebody's goals. I mean, if anything, maybe I feel bad for people when they order a salad because I'm like, well, they're going to be hungry and they're going to have to go and find more food later. which also is not true because all of it, like, I can't even finish a salad on most occasions.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I just can't eat enough food.
This is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
You feel bad for the person ordering the salad. Person ordering the salad feels bad for you for making you feel bad for not ordering a salad.
Maybe our collective New Year's resolution for everybody who's listening right now should just be like, maybe just feel bad less. Just feel bad less.
Yeah. It's just like, be like, it doesn't matter what you ordered. It's okay.
Don't
judge people's orders.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mind your own. Pay attention to your own tavern fries.
Exactly.
Which now, I as we're talking about this, like, we're like not terribly far off from lunch hour, yeah. And I am like slowly getting hungry. So
I am. Yeah. I mean, I got a granola bar right there.
Yeah,
get like two bites of it because all I had was a smoothie for breakfast.
Oh wow! But okay
to that end,
I was
that was
say,
sort of my resolution.
Your resolution was a smoothie
was
to have to, one or multiple, maybe like three.
Was to like make this my usual breakfast.
Oh, was to have a smoothie. Okay, so I'm curious because in our show notes,
yeah.
For at least a few weeks now, you have had, and I actually see that you've now added my 2024 resolution.
Yeah, this is working out wonderfully.
But you say that smoothies are basically cheating,
yeah.
To which I'm also incredibly curious as to why you say this.
I don't think they're cheating. I think when I think about, so let me give you my history with smoothies.
Okay.
Which is that when we were kids, every now and then mom would buy this, like, it was like a small block of frozen strawberries at the Kroger.
Okay.
And she had this one particular smoothie recipe and she would make it and like we would get some and it was so good. But I always remember like the commentary being that like the strawberries were either that they were hard to find or that they were expensive. Like they didn't always have them there or had to like sort of like mom had to like have a coupon or something to get the strawberries.
It felt a little indulgent. Yeah.
Like there was something indulgent about getting the frozen strawberries, even though they're fruit.
Right. Yeah.
There was something that was like the bottleneck or the roadblock. And so because because of that, even when you got them, there was just a small amount. And so the smoothie yield was small.
Okay.
So even on the glorious, glorious days when mom had all the materials to make the smoothie and made the smoothie and decided she was going to share it with you, and it was the best thing in the whole world, you still only got like one tiny little glass.
Right.
And
right.
Like, let me tell you what, if I go to Smoothie King, there isn't a big enough cup. Okay. Like, I can eat endless smoothie.
Does it come in gallons?
It almost does. I think you can get like a 64 ounce, you know.
Oh my gosh. Like, yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. So smoothies like and maybe this is just one of those things where like when you were a kid, you were being like drip fed something and it was just like, I never got enough and now I must always have it or sort of thing.
Well, I wonder a little bit at times, like, you know, I feel like we live in an age of excess, or it feels that way at times. Like, I wonder if as kids, this idea of like having something for special occasions was almost like still being carried over much more as like a, like, oh, I'm trying to think here. Like, you know, it seems like if you were to go back to the 1930s, 40s, that time frame or something like that, you know, like maybe like when our grandparents grew up, the idea of like having cake, for example, is something that was like reserved exclusively, you know, for the festivities attached to like someone's birthday. So,
right.
You know, realistically, like you're only having cake like one time per year, and that made it like a really special occasion.
Which is great.
Yeah. But then like it would, and this is like one of those things where I didn't live during that period of time, so I have no idea to what extent this is in fact true.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it would be the type of thing like where on any given weekend, even if you could go to the store, even if you had the means to purchase all the necessary materials and the ability and skill to bake a cake,
yeah,
like that, maybe you wouldn't, because it's like, no, like that's it's almost like having turkey on Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, it's like it's such a rare occasion for someone to be like leaving work and be like, yeah, I made a whole turkey.
I know.
It's like,
I always wonder that, like whatever, like every time Thanksgiving, I'm like, I don't understand why people don't roast turkeys at other time of the year.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, I guess it is quite an endeavor and takes all day and stuff, but it's like you could do it,
right?
You know?
right Yeah, I mean, but like, you know, if I were to just message you on like May 17th and be like, hey, by the way, we're having turkey tonight for dinner, do you guys want to come over? I cooked a whole bird. You know, I mean,
I would be there.
I bet you would. But like, even it would seem out of place, would it not? Like, would it not seem like a little bit strange?
It would seem a little strange.
So
but I'm still for it, like, especially when you think about like Thanksgiving. Everyone's always like, Thanksgiving dinner is good, Thanksgiving leftovers, that's the best. And like, that's true. And I know even at our house, we always had this like Ziploc bag full of all the extra turkey.
Yeah,
normally,
yeah.
The next day, and it's like, that's after like 20 people ate it. Like, if you made a whole bird for just like your, you know, family of four or five, you'd have so many leftovers.
It's extraordinarily too much food.
Yeah. Maybe that's the problem, is that like whole turkeys are just too much food for one family.
Right. But so my thinking though would be, it's like, you know, I mean, again, if you're to go back to this period of time, use the birthday cake example or whatever, it's like, you know, it may be pre boxed birthday cake.
Yeah.
You know, so like to make a birthday cake now, like, you know, while I have messed it up before, is a reasonably easy task and fairly inexpensive to do. Like, you know, it doesn't require any elaborate ingredients. You mostly just put them in a bowl together, mix them, put them in the oven for an allotted amount of time, remove them and apply the icing, and like, you know, you're done. But like, this may have been the type of thing that would have required a bit more skill or finesse, or like going to a bakery to, you know, specifically like splurge and purchase one type thing. And as a result, I could almost see like a world where things like this, and maybe like a birthday cake is so specifically tied to a special occasion, but like maybe like a milkshake at a diner could be a similar one, where it's like, you know, you only go and do it like when you're on like that special date or like a special occasion, you know, again. And so I don't know if there's any possibility that like growing up, like mom could have like literally just gone to the store and had smoothies for every single day of the week and just be like, yeah, my kids love smoothies, so that's what they have for breakfast every single morning. And I'm able to pack all sorts of stuff into it, and it's like a great way to give them nutrients. Or maybe if there's like a bit of like this like lingering scarcity mindset for her, where it was like, no, like they love when I do it, so like I do it like, you know, like once a month. You know, and that way, like when I do it, it's like, it's special.
It's a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
But now fast forward to the present, like, I mean, Addie's favorite thing, I mean, she calls them mushies.
Yeah.
But like, you know, a lot of times, like I'll walk in to get her out of her crib in the morning, and like the first thing she'll say to me is mushy. And she loves it because, I mean, for one, she will absolutely annihilate these things.
The smoothie?
The smoothie. Yeah. Mushies. calories. Yeah. And we love it because we can pack so much nutrients into it and she'll consume it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's not, we have like smoothie cups, so they're all, it's not even very messy or anything. But I think what she loves the most is that she gets to press the button on the blender.
Oh, sure.
And so she gets really jazzed about, getting to be involved. And at this point in time, we set her on the counter, we pull up the blender and she can tell us okay, we need the ogurt, which is yogurt.
Yeah.
That goes in first. And then we need the banana, which I can't even pronounce how she says banana.
Yogurt doesn't go in first, dude.
Oh, wow.
You gotta
okay.
put in the milk. You got to put liquids in first.
Liquids in first. You don't think liquids in last so that it then can permeate all the way down?
No, you have to put liquids in first because that's the only way to measure it inside the blender, because then you can use the markers in the blender to measure it.
Yeah, see, I don't measure anything anyway. I just sort of I just eyeball it and just I'm freestyling.
What are you doing?
I learned on the streets.
Oh my gosh, maybe you are making mushies.
They're amazing. She likes them. Child approved.
Liquids in first.
Liquids in first. Okay. Yeah. I'm willing to give it a whirl, but yeah.
And then powder. So then otherwise the powder is on top and it goes poof,
and then it gets kicked all over. Yeah,
and then otherwise it's easier for the powder to get mixed in if it's in there down there with the liquid.
I tend to not have terribly strong opinions, but I don't think it's as big of a problem. Because I usually...
You're going to start noticing it now, man.
Okay, all right, if you say so. Because we do put the powder in there. I don't know. I've never encountered it. Anyway, continue. Why is it... Why are smoothies cheating? Let's get to that.
I feel like if people had not invented smoothies, they'd be like a TikTok sensation. People would be like, dude, listen to this. You're supposed to have... What every day? There's all these things you're supposed to have every day in your life, and your vitamins, fruit, vegetables, whatever. Dude, I put yogurt, I was having such a hard time eating them. I put them all in the blender, mix them up. It tastes amazing, and they're so good for you. There's no downside to smoothies.
No downside, yeah.
And they're immune to so often, if you see people doing super clean eating and stuff, and which, is great and you should do. But there's always you're trying to make it taste as good as possible while still being healthy. And it's just smoothies just break all the rules. It's just it doesn't matter what you put in them. They still taste good and they're still great for you.
It's true.
It's it's not there. You could, put a bunch of sugar or something in there but you don't need to.
Yeah.
The thing. You don't even have to try to make it healthy. It just sort of naturally is.
Yeah.
And you get, to me, it's it feels like it is otherwise a life hack. It's don't eat all these things separately. Just smash them together. Put them into one drink. Not only is it super good for you, but it's easily digestible and will fill you up until lunch. And you're going to get all that protein, all the good things you want. And it's in one. It feels like a life hack, but it's not. But it made me wonder what other things are we doing that might otherwise be considered a life hack, but they are so successful at being a life hack, it's just normal.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. When does it exit life hack and just become part of good practice?
Exactly.
Because this is one of those things where it's here's a life hack for you. Drink more water.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's
exactly. That's a great example. I was it's not a life hack.
Hey, get this. You're going to feel way better. Drink 3 glasses of water a day.
Yeah.
And and it's how about that? How about that?
How about that?
You know? And it's you can literally get this. You can go to any faucet, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
Lift the little thing up. Put a glass underneath. This is the complicated part. Fill the glass to whatever desired height you
like.
You know, whatever works for you. And then turn the faucet off. Kick it back. Boom. Tastes like basically nothing and makes you feel better.
Right. Do that 3 times a day. You will not believe the life-changing effects it's going
to
have.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing to me how much we're willing to subscribe to these other, air quote life hacks when drinking more water could probably just help all people.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you, okay, this, I'm going to do the thing where I describe a TikTok.
Okay. Okay.
But there's maybe my new favorite TikTok ever. It is, maybe you've seen it by now because it's fairly viral, but it's just this couple talking and it's clearly a skit, but it is how much fruit do you eat, or how often do you eat fruit? Have you seen this one?
No, I've no. I mean, okay. I'm still not on social. So
okay, yeah. So this is the premise for the video, and it is just, like the amount of time I've spent thinking about it, and it's really funny because it just sounds like conversations Beth and I have had too, which is maybe why it's sticking out. But it's just the husband or whatever walks in and he's like, you know what I've noticed is I feel better on the days I eat fruit. And the wife is like, well, after you're eating fruit, he's like, I don't know, like once a week. He's like, when's the last time you had fruit? He's like 20 minutes ago. I ate fruit every day. And he's just like, every day? What? How often are you supposed to eat fruit? She's like, I think every day. He's like, there's no way. No one's eating fruit every day. She's like, every day.
Every day.
Every day. And he's like, I have fruit like maybe, I thought it was like stretching. Like you do it like once a year. And he keeps dropping other like tiny examples in there. And it's like, no, she's like, I think you should stretch every day too. He's like, I could call anyone on my phone right now. I bet you no one eats fruit every day. No one does that. She's like, do it. Do it. He calls his friend.
The how friend's
like,
fruit?
How do you eat fruit? He's like, I buy a bag of grapes. I'll eat fruit every day for like 2 or 3 days. But after that, I might go like a month. I don't know. And then, you know, eventually the wife's like, man, I thought maybe I'm eating too much fruit. He's like, you're definitely eating too much fruit. Probably drinking too much water too. She's like, how often are you drinking water? He's like, I don't know, 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day. Like, that is exactly. Like, that's just how I drink water. Yeah, you know, I had like 3 cups of coffee today. I'm great.
Right. Actively dehydrating you. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Right. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Oh my God. It's so funny. And the delivery is just perfect. So I'm sure we'll link that in the description.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, drink smoothies, then you'll get your fruit. So
that's your game plan is to basically, yeah. Well, I mean, so it's kind of hilarious because Allison and I were talking about this morning as well, because I eat a Clif Bar for breakfast basically every single day for like 15 years. You know, I mean, like not without fail, because there have been like periods of time where I've had like, you know, like protein goals, or I've been like doing things like for fitness related reasons where like I had some like attached aspiration. But the thing that I realized, like even dating back to like when me and you lived together, like starting Super Carlin Brothers, was like, the thing that I always thought was amazing is I was like, oh, I'll have a Clif Bar for breakfast every day. That means I don't need to spend more than $7 a week on breakfast because it costs $1 per bar.
Wow.
And that was just sort of like, you know, like as I was doing like my grocery budget, I was like, boom,
there we go. 7 meals done.
Yeah. And it's like astonishing to me how like of all the things in my life, it is this like bizarre static like thing that like consistently just like comes back. Like I never really deviate away from it. Like I bet you could review every grocery bill that I've had literally since I was in college, and probably every single one of them has had a Clif Bar on it. And I don't even like, I don't love Clif Bars. This is not me promoting Clif Bars. Like I have like no attachment to them. I'm just aware of the fact that I tend to wake up late enough that I almost always eat in my car. And so even the trash can that like I park next to in our parking lot, like I will get out of the car and I'll throw my Clif Bar wrapper away. And oftentimes I clearly don't change it, this trash can, that often, because I feel like I can only see my week's worth of Clif Bars.
Yeah, you talk about things you do once a year is empty that trash can, which is always gross.
Always gross. Yep. Yeah. But yeah, it's like the strangest thing that I've had such a regular relationship with that I don't care about at all. Yeah. Like I'm not like, you know, I'm not invested. I don't promote it. If people ask me for like dietary tips or something, it wouldn't even occur to me for like weeks to even bring it up. Right. But just this very morning, I was getting ready to leave. And this is the thing is that like, Allie one day like she was holding Addie in front of our pantry, and basically like, you know, Addie was like trying to point to things that she was allowed to eat, which is, you know, limited. But she always points at the Clif Bar wrappers, and like the very first day she ever did it, Allie was just like, no, those are Dad's. And so like now literally every single time we open the cabinet, she'll point to it and she'll be like, Dad's. Those are Dad's bars. So like I'm actually incredibly curious to know as she gets older if she will like always associate them with me, and I will have further ingrained myself with Clif Bar brand and in my family, and there they'll just go. Like, yeah, okay.
What percentage of you would you say is Clif Bar at this point?
So this was part of what I was thinking about. So, okay, let's just say 10 years. That's 3,600 and change days based on leap years or whatever, right? So it would not surprise me if over those 3,000 days, I've easily had 2,000 Clif Bars.
Man.
Like, I mean, like, if anything, even as I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, that's probably low.
That's assuming you didn't have like a second Cliff Bar in the day at any point, you know.
Assuming that.
Like bike ride, sometimes that's what I would normally bring.
Is Cliff Bar on a bike ride. That's a good point as well. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, that's literally, I mean, that's suggesting that only like two thirds of the time I'm having them, and it seems higher than that.
Yeah.
Which is like, I'm kind of even blowing my own mind right now as I'm describing it, because mm-hmm. I'm like, what is the deal with these things? Why is it like the one thing that like I never apparently get tired of, but also don't like that much?
I know. Like every time I grab one, I'm like, yeah, this will kind of satiate me. And then I'm in the middle of eating it, and I'm like, I guess this is okay. It's like the best tasting Cliff Bar that feels, the best tasting granola bar that feels healthy and isn't like super messy or crumbly.
Yeah.
Or something, or like isn't gonna get like stuck in your teeth.
I think that's probably part of it. It's like a very easy to eat. It's not a messy thing to eat. Although now that I'm thinking about it as well, there's a part of me that's like kind of going back to your smoothie conversation, because hilariously, like growing up, our dad was always like, you know, into like mountain biking and stuff like that. So we'd be like sometimes go to the bike store whenever he was picking up some new thing or having his bike worked on. And you get to the checkout counter, and as a kid, you'd see all like the really glossy like wrappers for like power bars.
Yeah.
You know, but Cliff Bars were there as well. And so it always seemed like one of those things where probably dad, you know, with this like, you know, 6-year-old-ish age kid was probably like, I probably don't want to give them like an energy bar.
Yeah.
You know, like that's probably not the right play. But so like on occasion, you know, you would get to grab one of the Cliff Bars and it was like special.
Yeah.
So it's possibly like, again, even going back to its own like little like scarcity thing from a kid, right, where it was like I was like, man, one day I'll be able to just buy as many Cliff Bars as I want. And I have. And
I really have.
Like I'm trying to think if I could like stop eating them like tomorrow, if I just never had another one again.
Cold turkey.
Cold turkey.
Whole turkey.
Oh man. Yeah. Cold whole turkey.
Cold whole turkey.
Oh man. Okay. So anyway.
Is that your favorite food? History stats would dictate it is.
I know. And this is once again, so I mean, for whatever reason, whenever I think about the great beyond or whatever, all I can think about, the only thing I can think about, is just getting to inquire about stats about my life. Like, that's all I want to know.
This is your version of heaven.
It's like,
let me look at the numbers, man.
Yeah, just like, I want to know all the stats, all the things. Like, you know everything about my life. Like, let me ask every single question. Would this have worked? It would have? No way. Oh, right? Man. How close was I to that? Really close? Oh, man. Like,
I know.
You know.
I can't believe there's not more services like Spotify Wrap, where it just like tells you what like your behavior was for the year.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It feels like you're probably, who's to say? It feels like at some point in the future, people will wear some sort of biometric that can like exactly track, like, oh yeah, Ben, this year you ate 2,000 Cliff Bars.
If I ate 2,000 in one year, then I would have to like them. I would have to be aware that I enjoy them.
That's probably too many. 200 Cliff Bars. 200. It's your favorite food. You'd be like, what?
Cliff Bars?
Not.
Yeah. It's like, I think you're using the wrong metric. It's like, what do I use for special occasions? What do I get then?
Yeah. But it's not about the big events, but it's about every day. Every single day you choose to eat a Cliff Bar. Yeah,
what do I eat most infrequently? So maybe your goal with your smoothies is don't like them.
No, I had a smoothie this morning. It was fantastic, and this is I'm going to try and continue.
You'll never be able to keep it up. You're clearly enjoying it too much.
The thing that is difficult about it is that there are many ingredients, and you have to get like all of them out and mix it all together
in the right order, apparently.
In the right order, exactly.
Exhausting.
You're getting more dishes than you need to dirty, is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Me and Allie had a whole big conversation about this the other day, because we were, for whatever reason, sniping each other's faults for fun.
Oh, great.
But so we were talking about, the things that each other does. And my thing that I think I've gotten reasonably good at is cleaning as I cook.
Oh,
so like I can get to the end of it, like making tacos for dinner. all the plates will be on the counter, all the bowls with the cheese and the avocado and the diced up tomatoes and, you know, the rice and the sauce, yeah, and like, you know, all the things. Uh-huh. And if you were to look back at the kitchen, you would see nothing on any surface whatsoever. And even inside of the sink where like some of the dirty dishes are, they are all pre-rinsed and like upside down drying. You know, it's like yeah, things don't, you know, like I'm good about that one, which yeah, I'm not like a generally tidy person, but yeah, I think this is like one area that I'm good at. But apparently the thing that Allie, so Allie's not good at this, but that's okay. What she shot back at me with was leaving clothes on the floor of the bathroom. Mm. And so it's like, you know, we have a small bathroom. So like when you walk in, there's no place to hide it anyway, like, you know, or put like a clothes hamper in there. So this is like one of my other resolutions. This yeah, is why I'm bringing it up, is to beat her.
And like, does she never leave clothes in the bathroom?
I would say more than never, but not as bad as I do. But so my, yeah, like.
Okay, so let me ask you, is there ever a time when both people have left clothes on the bathroom floor?
No.
No?
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
I doubt it. Yeah, I don't think there's ever more than like one day's worth of one human's worth of clothes on the bathroom floor.
Okay.
And it's, and then it gets like cleared up.
Okay.
But like, this is like, they're like hilarious little like, household like tit for tats that we have, like where, you know, it's like, we're constantly like finding little things that the other person does that we're like not okay with. And for whatever reason, my goal is to win by overcoming my challenges and hope she continues to lose.
You know, really water to improve.
Yeah. No, it's like, yeah. So
no, I mean, I think everyone does this. So you're right that we have, our hampers are not located in the bathroom. We have like three separate ones. One's for like sheets, one's for like regular clothes, and one's for like gym clothes or like underwear or something like that.
Wow. And wow. What a flex. Yeah. You have a separate one for sheets.
Yeah,
that's remarkable. Never even occurred to me. I am using the same hamper I bought for my dorm room in college. It is disgusting and horrible.
You should get a new one.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that I bought three separate hampers. This is just like a rig that is designed to hold three.
Okay.
Okay. So it's like a rack, and it's got like three little cube things on
Neat.
It. Yeah, it is. It's pretty good. But anyway, so a lot of times, like, but because it's not in the bathroom, like when you're getting in the shower, that's where you get undressed. So there's this little spot on the floor between the shower and like the closet that accumulates clothes. And so like sometimes I'll notice that, like, oh yeah, we've both clearly put a bunch of clothes in here, and I'll like go to pick them up, but I'll only pick mine up.
That's amazing. Why?
Because like, that is the same reason, because then Beth would know. I didn't leave a mess.
It's on you.
No, but this,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't leave a mess. Crazy. Yeah, the thing that that Beth does around the house that I am sure is going to be just the end of me is just like, just leave shoes places.
Okay.
Because shoes are the sort of thing that when you step on our floor is littered with toys at all times.
Sure.
But like shoes in particular are the number one thing I can't stand being left out, because shoes are not something you can step on without them adjusting position.
Uh-huh.
Like they're a very floppy object.
They are, yeah,
by design. There's almost no way to like land perfectly on a shoe without your ankle being threatened to like have a twist.
I do regularly trip on shoes. This is yeah
exactly.
Yeah, that's a good
shoes
point.
Shoes are the worst ones. So that's my big my pet peeve.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Our other ones are I used to, when I would get out of the shower, my bedroom door would be like askew, you know, so like not shut or open. And what I would do is throw the towel like over the edge of the door, mm-hmm, like, you know, so not on a hook, not on the doorknob, but like so the door couldn't shut. And it never occurred to me that this was a problem. In my mind, I was always like, it like fans it out more so it can dry more, you know, like uniformly. And I'm not leaving it on the floor, you know? Like,
you hang your towel where? On the door?
On the door.
On
the top of the door.
So the door can't shut at all.
Door can't shut.
Okay.
So Allie doesn't like that.
Yeah.
So it was like one of those things where I was like she came in one day and she's like, why do you always do this? And I was like, I can't think of a single reason why I wouldn't do it.
I'm drying it out.
Does this not make perfect sense?
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I hear you. Okay, I hear you. I hear you. So now I'm extremely good about always returning my towels. I'm like playing this. I'm like waging this war that I don't care about as well. It's like the Cliff Bar of battles.
Yeah.
But so I always put those back. The other one that that Allie told me about immediately when we started dating was that like there was nothing that makes her more upset than when somebody leaves the toilet paper roll completely like undone.
Yeah.
So you like walk in. It doesn't matter if there's like toilet paper nearby. Like she doesn't want it like set on the counter above it or like leaned on like the little rack or whatever. It's like it has to be like put back on the roll. However, she's not good about doing it. She just doesn't like it if somebody else does it to her.
Right.
So I'm extremely good about that. I have a 100% success rate since we've been together.
Yeah.
I would be willing to bet. Well, I'll ask him in heaven one day.
Me and Beth have had that exact conversation before where it's just like, and this was hilarious to me. And it just made me like laugh so much about like the way in which like you might have pet peeves around the house where I think we were talking and I was like, okay, like you, I was saying like, you never change the toilet paper roll. Like it's all, like it's there. Sure. Like it'll be there.
You said this to Beth or Beth said this to you?
Well, I can't even remember who said it to who. It doesn't really, by the end of the story, it won't matter.
Okay, good.
But like, so like just for the sake of the story, I brought it up and was like, yeah. Oh, so this is one of those things. Like you never change the toilet paper roll. Like it's always like right next to it, but it's like, why didn't you just put it the rest of the way? She's like, no, like to me. And it's like, I notice this all the time, all the time. I'm constantly putting it back on. And she was like, no, you never change the toilet paper roll. Like, I'm always changing my gun. And she's like, clearly, we both just forget all the time.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Now you're making me wonder whether or not I forget all the time as well.
I know,
It's like one of those things. But like, I think about it, like in the back of my head, I like these are like the little things that like, it's like if somebody's like, hey, this is a preference of mine. It's like, okay, I can accommodate that No problem.
Yep.
now I know. So now I'll fix it. So the other one that kills me that Allie does is our front door since we moved there, it's like a storm door.
Yeah.
So like if you open it to like let the dogs out, they'll run outside or whatever. But if you don't pull it like physically like back into its like groove or whatever, it will get stuck and it'll just sort of like flap in the breeze or whatever, which is the only reason I have an issue with it is because like our whole property is fenced in. And so like when the mailman comes, if the dogs go bulleting at the door and it's like on this like half hinged situation, they can knock it open and access the mailman, which is not good.
Right.
But I don't want that. And so it's like one of those things that I'm like hyper, you know, like I feel like I pull it shut like 99 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, it wasn't shut again. And so when Allie brought up the great towel over the door incident of 2019, I was like, hey, can we make sure we always pull the door shut? This was like my, oh, are we in negotiation mode? Like, is this,
I got one.
I bring one up? Because I got one.
Pocket.
Yeah. I was never going to say anything. Like, for what it's worth, I could have lived with this for the rest of my life.
Right.
Pulling the door shut. But if you're upset about the towel, then we got to talk.
We got to talk about the door.
Because we're at the table now. We need like a third party to come in and like be like, all right, now, I mean, here's the deal, you know?
Did she recognize that she didn't do it?
Oh, she recognizes that she doesn't do it and still doesn't do it.
Ah.
Which is good for my battle because it means I'm winning. Because I'm doing all my things and she's doing none of hers.
Yeah.
This is actually not true at all. She's really good at accommodating things, but I'm for the purposes of
for this entertaining conversation,
for the hilarious story, I did pull the door shut this morning. Yeah. So, you know.
Oh, this is a thing that I also discovered. I don't think Beth is able to accommodate for me as much. It's like the difference between like being a tall person and a short person.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm like 6'1" and Beth is 5'1". So there's a 1 foot difference between us.
Sure.
But noticeable. I take up noticeably more space.
At least a foot more.
Like at least a foot more. I'm like a wider person than she is. So like we recently got these like hooks for like the bathroom so we can like hang them over the bathroom over like the shower so that, you know, there's like another place to like hang the towel up in the bathroom so it can dry. So you have one, you don't have to like walk over around into the closet to grab it and like get the floor all wet or whatever. But we put it up there and it's like, it seems like a great solution until the towel, but if there's always a towel hanging on it, towels are like sort of bulky objects. And so it like, it takes up, you know, a big chunk of the airspace between the shower door and the opposite wall.
The airspace. Like bringing in like jets and stuff. Like...
It's like, to her, I don't feel like it must be noticeable at all. But to me, it's like, this infringes on the whole bathroom now. Like, there's so much less space in here because I think I take up that 1 foot of extra space that I'm taking up is like, it infringes on that space.
Oh, I see. You know? I see. This is interesting. This is interesting. So yeah, where are you supposed to stretch once a year?
I know. It's like things but things hanging on the back of doors, like that's always like such a good like organizational thing. But so often, like we have on the back of our pantry door, we have just like a nail to hang up like aprons.
Okay.
You know, like this is where the aprons go, on the back of the door. And that's great. Except aprons are like long and they always have straps.
Okay. Stuff.
So whenever you shut the pantry door, what happens is the inertia always carries the strap into the front of the door.
It's kind
of
like flip-flop out.
And you can't shut the door. And it's like so annoying to me, especially because like I don't wear aprons, you know, like I'm never the one using them. So I only deal with the downside, even though the aprons are clearly very useful to that. Although I will say I did bake something over this past week.
Did you really?
I did.
Tell me all about it. How did it go?
Okay. Yeah. Transition.
Okay. Transition. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all are likely aware of the fact that we have our very own Shopify store, Carlin Brothers Mercantile, and it's hard to imagine not having it now, but arriving at the decision to open our own web store was a big one. In fact, we started our journey on the interweb back in 2012 and didn't finally open up shop until 2018. And a huge part of that is just not knowing where to start, but that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, which is a fancy way of saying it's a really easy and effective way to start an online business, no matter if you're operating out of your garage or have like a whole building or three or something. Once we were set up, our biggest concern was trying a new product, only to discover no one was interested in it. But Shopify is powered with so many reports, more than you can even imagine. And this is so handy because it allows us to use data to better provide what folks are actually interested in. It's so easy to use, but even if you do find yourself caught in a jam, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is supported by Arena Club. Okay, so you guys know that I love trading card games and that me and Ben are big time collectors of Pokemon cards. You know, it's that childhood fantasy of finally being able to use adult money to buy those highly coveted rares of our youth. And like, even in our office, we have not one, but two full display cases with some of our all time favorite rarest cards that we've pulled. But something I did not know existed when I was a kid in my youth was the grading process for trading cards or sports cards or whatever you're collecting. You know, to me, it was just like a rare Charizard is a rare Charizard. Like, it doesn't matter if it's been hanging out in my pocket with my lucky paper clip. Turns out it does matter, and kind of a lot, because if you get your cards professionally graded, it can add huge value. And then not only that, but once they're graded, they will like seal them in that pristine condition inside of a plastic case, or what's known in the industry as a slab. And that's where Arena Club steps in, because it's like buying a booster pack, but it's for a pre-graded card. Now, I know that can take like maybe a second to wrap your head around, because you're opening physical cards on a digital platform, which means you open the pack online and see your pulls where they can be added to your showroom for the world to see, but you can also request them to be sent to you at any time. So they have got a ton of pre-graded cards, and then you will get to randomly open one, and then they'll keep it for you, or they can send it to you, or you can just like sell it or trade it online or whatever you want to do. But whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. And right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that is a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's like $40 right there. Anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Okay, so we have been watching on Netflix, the Junior Bake Off.
Yes,
okay. Which is like the Great British Baking Show, but kids.
But kids, adorable, yes, sweet, it
is,
amazing.
It is so adorable, and it is so much worse when they send them home.
Oh, I bet. Know? Oh, I my bet. Gosh. That's devastating. It's like you almost wish that version of it, they all just got to stay the whole time.
You kind of do wish that was the case, because like, without, it is a 100% cry situation. Like, they always cry.
Oh, and no.
I know, it feels so bad. It's like, you feel like they're normally very like, you know, they get it,
but they should be so proud that they're there.
They should be so like, proud that they're there,
and they will be, I think, as time goes on.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. No one's ever just like angry or anything. They're just, you know, they're upset. But I will say, sometimes it seems unfair, because like the age range is like between like 9 and 15.
Yeah, that's, you know, like there's a lot that happens in those years.
Yeah, it's like, excuse me, you want 9-year-olds against the 15-year-olds? They're like, oh, you know, it's, you're a whole, a lot happens. Yeah.
Yes, it feels
very unfair sometimes. Or it'll seem, there's like often like even like a real, I don't know. It's so annoying when kids who are clearly like, just like futzing up and dropping stuff left and right.
Did
like,
you say futzing up?
Futzing up, man. Okay,
I'm not going to lie. I heard something else.
Okay. No.
I was like, we have managed to be family friendly for like 12 years. And there you go.
This is it.
This is the moment.
These kids.
Yeah.
No. Oh, man. Sometimes there'd be some kids who are just like, they are riding that like runner up to last place line for like 4 episodes or something.
Okay.
Where it's like they continue being second to last.
Okay.
And so they continue to like be just like a complete catastrophe in the kitchen, but don't get voted out and that not voted or sent home.
Right.
Whereas kids who have been like amazing will have like a bad day, but because they were the worst one on that day, get sent home.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's so annoying, but it's worse because it's kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, not really the point. The point is, one of the hosts of the show is this woman named Rav, and I got her pastry chef's guide book for Beth for Christmas.
Oh, awesome. That's amazing.
Watching the show.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And every time I'm watching the show, I'm always like, it'd be so fun. Like, you know, like I always want to like try and do something. I always want to make something and then never do. The week after Christmas, this is the when.
This is the when.
So I literally just went to the very first page. I was like, really, whatever it is, I'm going to try and do it.
Okay.
And the first page was like French meringue, and then like other side of the page, pavlova. And I was like, fantastic, we're making pavlova.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
No, man. Well, it's clearly I've been watching a bunch of Bluey, Ben. There's a whole episode called pavlova.
I feel like it reminds me of Pavlov.
Pavlov.
Isn't that?
Oh, like, yeah, Pavlov's dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bluey's about dogs, right?
Bluey is about dogs.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That particular episode is about Bandit trying to get Bingo to eat edamame, and all she wants to eat is pavlova. So he pretends to be a French chef that can't speak French and just says a bunch of gibberish to them, and they have a bake-off. And ultimately, she still goes for the pavlova. But then at the very end, she's like, maybe I will try it. Anyway.
And by the way, Addie loves edamame, one of her favorite snacks.
I know. It's super good. I love edamame as well. Pavlova is basically when you have like a French meringue. It's basically... you make like a meringue, and then it's like topping it with a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
And it's just like a yummy dessert. But the real baking part of it was the meringue, which I had never made before either.
Very, very joyous experience.
It was. Have you made it before?
Yeah, I have to for the macarons.
Yes. Well, I went through it. I was like determined to do it right. And I'm like looking through all the ingredients, and it calls for like caster sugar. Do you ever get caster sugar?
No, never used caster sugar. No?
Well, this is what it said. And I was like, and you know, Beth's like, we have regular sugar. And I'm like, it says caster sugar. And she was like, I think it'll be okay. And I'm like, I don't think it'll be okay.
Did you order on Amazon?
I went on like DoorDash to see where you could get it, and you could only get it at the Fresh Market. So
I
had to do that, and then it came, and it was like this tiny little bag, and I was like, oh man, well, if I'm going to make a lot of these baking things in here, I'm going to need a lot more caster sugar, apparently.
According
to Rav.
Yeah.
But I went through and I made it, and we got to the piping part of it. The caster sugar, I think, was like a game changer.
Oh, was it really?
I think it was a lot. I think it was absolutely the way to go. But we got to the piping thing, and we don't have like piping bags or anything, so we're using like Ziploc bags.
Amazing.
But the first one we used is like folded, like double under, so it can have like a flat bottom or something. Okay. I don't know if that makes sense. But like when we clipped it, when we clipped the corner, it meant there was two holes, so that was a complete disaster.
Okay, I'm following what you're saying. The Ziploc bag has like a flat bottom.
Yeah, Ziploc bag had a flat bottom, so it wasn't a good like corner to snip because it made two holes.
I see.
So then we had to transfer the whole thing from one bag to the next, but I was able to pipe these little like spiral shaped kind of like cookies, I guess.
Okay.
And then we baked them up and they came out, and like I had two layers. My top layers were all perfect. The second one's like the bottom layer like cracked for some reason. I don't know the science behind it, but that's what happened. I don't know if the bottom of the oven was just hotter or something.
Wait, did you put two baking dishes, two trays in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I'd just do one at a time.
Well, lesson learned.
Yeah, because I think it's the way that like the heat radiates through the oven.
Yeah,
every time I try to bake cookies with two at once, it just doesn't work. That's my pro tip. I don't even know, not so pro tip. Maybe somebody else better knows.
Who knows? But they came out, and then we had to macerate some strawberries and caramelize candied some pecans.
Wow.
And then we didn't have any whipped cream because I was like, I don't need to order whipped cream. We've got some in the fridge. But it turned out that whipped cream was expired by like a month. So we didn't have whipped cream after all.
I mean, how often do you even replace your whipped cream?
I know. But turns out that it was still fine. Once you put the strawberries and the nuts on top and just ate it, it was very good. The meringue as like a cookie was a really interesting thing because it's like so airy. So the bottom was really like light and fluffy, and then there's sort of like an open top, and it was like a little crispy on top. So that was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed I think they came out absolutely perfectly.
Did you take pictures?
I do have some pictures, yes.
Okay, well, I want to see them after we exit.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we can put them in the show notes or something. Yeah. So people can see what you did.
You can see my like meringue things. But yeah, that was fun. That was my good my first foray into baking.
There you go. Yeah. That's super amazing.
And I've still got some at home. Now they've all cracked because they're just sitting in the container.
Yeah.
And I would say that it's like an interesting thing because like they do taste really good, but they're not like cookies where it's like every time you pass where you're like, maybe I'll have one.
Maybe I'll snag one. I know.
Yeah.
I have this exact problem like with the macarons. It's the exact same thing where it's like I like to make them, but realistically, like every batch that I make, I probably eat like one or two. Mm. So it's like I have to have people or places to take them so that they're otherwise consumed. Otherwise, I feel like I'm just like practicing and then like wasting them. So,
right.
I do feel like that's like a weird thing about baking is you almost need like places to take the stuff.
Yeah, I know. Cause then like the next day, you know, the kids were like watching and they were having some fun with their, and then, I was like looking through the book, and of course she has a recipe for like, chocolate chip cookies, and I was like, well, I'm gonna make it exactly like this, except that one also calls for the caster sugar, and I was like, I can use regular sugar for chocolate chip cookies. But then I could tell like, well, we didn't have all the ingredients because we didn't have brown sugar or like a big slab of dark chocolate.
Ugh.
I know, but then that exact, as soon as I like even brought up like going to get it, Beth, I could tell like Beth's New Year's resolution, because we're going on a cruise in like 3 weeks as a family, is like try and be real clean eating until we get
gotcha,
there.
Gotcha,
it's like bad time to just get into baking.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Let's super indulge.
Let's go.
It's okay. I had a smoothie for breakfast.
We're fine. Man, I'll tell you what, even just having made the one thing, it was like the meringue, because like I bought my little packet of my caster sugar and I used, I think probably like 7/8 of it.
Okay.
You know, per the recipe. And I'm like, wow, these cookies are, I would say like mostly sugar.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I've got strawberries, which are, if you don't know, macerated just means when you put sugar on top of fruit until it starts to like melt and ooze and make good stuff. So then it was just covered with strawberries, covered in sugar, covered in pecans, covered in sugar. So I was like, there's nothing healthy about this.
Quite the sugary mess you
quite
have going
the
on there.
Sugary bit of indulgence there, but it was tasty.
Well, that's great.
Yay.
Well, on my end of things, you gave me Alice gave me a sourdough starter for Christmas, which I think I spoke about on a previous episode of The Pop, and I got some feedback from a little colonel out there who had a really good recommendation, because what we're finding very quickly is that we're like currently feeding the starter like every single day.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, like something that can make it even more fun is to name your starter.
Ah, what'd you name it?
So, well, so I haven't actually revealed it yet. So, but I was, I mean, literally like as like an homage to the Pop.
Yeah.
And because it came from Little Colonel, I was going to name it Poppy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So Poppy the starter.
Poppy the starter.
But the thing that we keep running into is that like the process of doing the whole like sourdough, like we've baked two loaves, which I think came out just basically terribly.
Oh no.
Yeah, like just I don't know how to properly knead the dough. Mm. And it's like extremely sticky.
Yeah.
Which is something that I'm still trying to like figure out how to like best do. And I was watching a bunch of videos and I got a bunch of tips and I just haven't had the time to like do all the other steps again so I can like do it again.
You gotta like beat it up pretty good, don't you?
I think sourdough. So. Yeah. It's supposed to I think by the time you're done doing it, it's supposed to be like considerably less sticky. And I definitely have not achieved that state yet. Like I was literally my first go, I had to like literally like use a knife to like scrape sourdough like dough off my hands.
Oh,
so
man.
It was definitely like not properly set up. And then the end result was we had these two super dense loaves of bread that like didn't rise like at all.
I see.
So I've still got some learning to do. But basically the thing I was going to say is that I feel like I'm having the exact same issue though, where there's a part of me is like, well, I want to keep experimenting, but at some point in time, I'm going to have a lot of bread.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have to start like bringing it to just every single person I know. Like, hey, you want some bread?
Some dense bread?
Hopefully not dense bread because I'll be practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by all means, I'll take your sourdough.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
day.
Just load you up. Yeah. So still, I mean, we've only had like one proper stab at the apple so far. And I feel like we came up a little bit short. So still kind of working on that aspect of it. But I feel like just feeding the starter every day, feeding Poppy every day, I feel like Allie has become like so much more engaged with like just all things like, you know, cooking kitchen related with me,
right,
which has been super cool.
That's
so
fun.
I feel like she like knows how to like use like the kitchen scale and like all the other little, you know, bits and bobs and such that I'm always tinkering with. So that's been like a fun, enjoyable experience.
That's good.
The other thing we haven't really talked about yet is that we are now in like we are on the other side of the holidays,
yes,
which means that we have experienced like our family Christmas together.
Yes,
which is a hooting and hollering good time. Did you have any good wins either giving or receiving of gifts?
Oh man, let's see. I felt like probably the shoes I'm wearing right now I got from you. That was probably like my biggest win of a gift. I think
I was pretty stoked, jazzed, I would even say about those. I found them months and months and months ago, and I was like, the second I saw them, I was like, these are the most Jay shoes. I was like, I felt like they spoke your name to me, and I was like, yeah. All right. So it was like the first gift I actually bought this season.
Oh
so
man,
I was excited about that.
How exciting! Yeah. Those were pretty good. I think. As far as gifts like the family received, you also got the twins like a gymnastics bar.
Yeah.
Like a little like pop-up gymnastics bar.
And that was really fun on Christmas Day because we brought it into like mom and dad's living room, and like all the like grandkids were all getting to like go and like do their stuff on it, which was just really fun to like watch unfold.
Yeah.
Have they like continued to like,
oh, absolutely.
Pursue?
They continued to pursue. Yeah. They, it's so fun watching them do it because like it's like, you wouldn't think that there's really that many like quote unquote tricks they could do with such like limited ability or anything.
Right.
But like, you know, the very easiest thing is to like prop yourself up, like hold yourself up with your arms, which you don't even have to do. You can even like lean forward like on your stomach and then just like flip forward and land on the ground with your feet.
Right.
And hold on. So like at first, like on Christmas morning, like Nick almost immediately figured it out and like was just flipping like crazy. But like within like a day, all three of them could do that. But then like Luke would go like sit on top of the bar and like lean backwards and do like the sort of like backwards sort of flip off of it, which was kind of cool. And then it's like, it's funny how when one of them figures it out, the others will watch and then they'll sort of like understand how it works. And then like they can go try it too.
They're like digesting the mechanics and then just sort of like implementing.
Yeah. It's so funny to watch. So like another thing is like Nick will, he'll get up there and he'll just like lean forward and he'll just sort of like hang from the bar, like like bending at the hips, I guess.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So like the bar is like across his hips and his head is like hanging down towards the ground. And
I'm following. Yeah.
Just like that. And he would do that. And, you know, eventually he would like, he realized like he could take his hands away and he'd be like, no hands.
Right.
And it's like no one told him to take his hands away. He just sort of like realized like this is a fun thing to do.
Oh, that's cool.
And then sure enough, like Luke would get up there and be like, oh, no hands. And then Nate would get up there and do it. And then, like Luke is like a little bit taller. So for that, like first thing where you like jump, where you like just lean forward and like do a flip on it. I was like, Luke, I bet you don't need to like Nick has been like using the side of it to like climb up and then do it. And uh-huh. He got like super fast at it where he could just like put his hands up there and put like one foot off to the side and like hop and like immediately get into the flip. And I was like, man, that's really good. I was like, Luke, I bet you don't even need to like climb up. I bet you could just jump because you're like taller.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he walks up and like jumps and flips. And then, you know, he does that a few times. Then he started doing it with like a little bit of a run, which was kind of cool where he would like run, jump, land and do the flip. And I was like, man, that was awesome. And then Nick all of a sudden is like, wait, I want to try that. And then he runs and does the jump. And it like took him a little, like a few to get like the timing right. But like he could just jump up and do it. And I was like, that was insane. So, and then like all of a sudden, like Nate, I didn't even think was paying attention. He's like playing with cars off in the corner while Luke and Nick are like taking runs at the bar. And all of a sudden he's like, we're about to go upstairs. He's like, wait, I want to try. And he just runs at it. First try, jump, grab, flip. I was like, what was that? So that was really fun.
That's amazing. What makes me super excited, because that gift was inspired by the fact that Addison has been going with Nick and Nate to the same gymnastics gym, you know, on Thursday mornings, where she's always like she calls it like gymnastics with Nick, Nate and Beth. She can't get the th that but I love the fact that she's like Nick, Nate and Beth at gymnastics. When she has to go to gymnastics, like, you know, we'll get her out of like the bath at night, like to go to bed, so like gymnastics, and we're like, next week. It's like, it's hard to explain to you that this is still kind of far off, but this was sort of like my interesting experience that I feel like I underwent going to the holidays this year, which is that like I've always said that gift giving is like sort of like one of the, like my go-to love languages, especially how I give love. And I think that that's like, I mean, if you know me, I don't think it's hard to see that being true, but I think that I experienced it in like kind of a different way over the holidays that maybe like really displayed to me in a way that I could not have predicted, like that maybe it's more important to me than I could even articulate, which was sort of interesting. And what I mean by that is we got to Christmas Eve and like Alice and I have been kind of going back and forth about like what the best way to do this was, because like growing up, we both had slightly different versions of what that morning looked like. Yeah. So for Allie, her parents, like any gifts from Santa, like the way that that was implemented was they were all like opened, pre-assembled, all pre-set up. And there was no like reveal. That was just like, you would come downstairs or whatever, the tree's right there. And then like next to the tree is this like display of all of the toys,
right?
Like in effect. Whereas like us growing up, what we did was a little bit different. And I think we talked about this before, but like we would usually go down and like we would open all the gifts from mom and dad. And then there was like the Santa gift that we would then like still open, you know, was also still wrapped.
Right.
And then you would like unwrap it and then like play with it or whatever. So I was like fully on board for doing it like how Alice had kind of done things. And I was like, okay, so we were really excited to like get down there and go through the process of setting all of like the toys and gifts that we got her up, which is going to be this like wooden train set that we were excited about. And I had just finished putting together the trapeze bar, or the gymnastics bar rather, for the twins, which was just, quite honestly, I would just call it a very good value. Like it was not like extraordinarily expensive, but it was very well built and very impressive looking, and like, you know, it's bright blue and like, you know, I didn't even know what it was going to look like out of the box. And when I set it up, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is really neat. So Addie had actually seen that because it was like leaned up against like our door, so that like the next morning I could pick it up and like throw it in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
So So like she was kind of like, what is that? Like, that seems fun. Like, I'm, you know, like whatever. And so I'm going through and we bought this train set and it was, you know, reasonably expensive. It was like, you know, upper hundreds like dollars, like $175 or something like that. So kind of a like a pricier thing. Uh-huh. But Allie and I were like, we haven't gone crazy big on gifts for Addie so far because she hasn't really been able to like grasp it.
Right.
But this year she's all about it. She knows Santa comes down the chimney, which steps in the fire and eats cookies and leaves presents. Mm-hmm. And so she has been so excited about it. And like, she's just talking about it and talking about it. And like, when Santa's coming, like, you know, this whole thing. So I'm getting like really excited because I'm like, this is going to be so much fun. Like, she's going to come downstairs. We're going to have this great big elaborate display. It's going to be so amazing. So beautiful. Like, you know, this train set's going to be like really like special and neat. And I basically the box had arrived. I had, you know, put it with the rest of the gifts. I hadn't really like given it like a proper gander or anything yet, but I go through and I unbox the set and I set it up and it fell short of my expectations.
Oh no.
So drastically.
Oh man.
Like, it was so unimpressive and like not what I had anticipated. And really, like, I would just say like it wasn't even like very well made.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, I'm not one to usually give like negative reviews to something, but like I honestly, I still probably in my heart of hearts can't, because Addie has loved it so much and she's played with it a ton. So like clearly this is just me kind of having this like this inflated version of like what this moment will be like, where it's like really the first time that she's going to come like running down the stairs and be excited and see all the things. And so I set the thing up and I'm standing there and I step back to look at it. I mean, it's like, it took me like 3 minutes to set up because I mean, it's probably the size of like a basketball.
Right.
And I was expecting something that like you would need like a counter to put it on or something, which maybe my expectations were just completely wrong.
Well, for $170, you'd think it'd be bigger than a basketball for a train set.
I know. Yeah. That was my thought too. And I was like, I don't know what happened. And so like, I'm having this like paralyzing moment because this is like her gift. This is like the big thing, you know, like the thing that you know, and what I'm trying to say here too is, especially because Addie has loved it. Like, clearly this was more of like a diagnosis or an understanding of like what it means to me to give somebody a gift, or like what I'm attempting to do, or like how I'm injecting my love into this like this exchange or something like that. But I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah,
like I'm sitting there and I'm staring at it. I mean, this is like 10 o'clock on December 24th.
Yeah,
and I'm looking at Allie. I'm like, I think I need to go to the store. I was like, I need to go fix this. Like, I have failed her. Like,
right. You know, she has like no point of reference or anything.
She has no point of reference whatsoever. Yeah. But like, I think also because I bought like the gymnastics bar for the twins. Like,
maybe she does.
And, you know, well, I mean, so, you know, like that's leaned up in the other room and it's like, it's very like just physically large and showy and, you know, like it kind of has like, it's, you know, like a whole vibe or whatever. And I'm like, oh no, have I completely... I was like, I think what I was feeling was as though I had like not pulled through for my own daughter.
Right.
While I had successfully done like, you know, like other good gifts, you know, for other members of the family or something. And anyway, it ended up being completely fine because the other thing that Addie wanted desperately, well, one, like I said, she loved it. But two, the other thing that she really wanted from Santa. So she knew that Santa came down and ate cookies.
Yeah.
But the other thing she really wanted was cookies.
Right.
And so she was like every time we asked her, it's like, what do you want Santa to bring you? And she's like, cookies. And so we went to like the grocery store and we bought like those, they're like the like sugar cookies with like the frosting on top and like sprinkles. They're like extremely sugary cookies.
Right, yeah.
And so Allie had this like beautiful like cake serving dish that like has like a glass lid that goes over it. And we just like, we literally put the whole stack of cookies up on it. And it was like,
oh man,
the deal for the day and like only this day was, these are your cookies. You can go to town on them.
Yeah.
Like, and like, so she comes downstairs and she's looking at them and like, you know, we take like the little like glass lid off and she does this thing where she like, she sort of like wolf pack points at something, like where she's trying to point with her pointer finger, but like her pinky also kind of comes out.
Yeah.
And so she'll like bend her wrist at this tight angle and she's looking at like all the stuff and she's like, can I have one of those? And we're like, Addie, those are yours.
Yeah.
Those are your cookies.
Yeah.
You can have as many as you want. And she was so excited, but it took her a solid like 48 minutes to eat her one cookie.
Right.
And then we had to leave for mom and dad's.
Yeah.
So realistically, she ended up having like 1.5 cookies on the day. But
sure.
It ended up being truly spectacular. But I was having this like total just panic moment. And then I was even having this panic moment too as well, where I was like, how embedded into the wrong meaning of Christmas have I now subscribed to where it's like, it's not just about like togetherness and like
right. You
know, the warmth of the morning and enjoying each other's company and time off from work and all these types of things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to take like 47 step backwards and you know, like reevaluate. So anyway, maybe my other 2024 resolution will be to recontextualize gift giving.
There you
and
go.
What it means, mm-hmm. You know, because I learned the true meaning of Christmas again.
Did you?
Know? Yeah, hopefully a little bit. it was a really just spectacular day. It was so right. much fun. There's yes. nothing more fun than like the kids being excited about
oh
it.
Oh my so. Gosh. Yeah, it was like, so this Christmas, I just kept sort of like being aware of it the closer and closer like the day came. So, cause like I always think of Christmas as being like, you know, just the day of Christmas, but realistically, like Christmas is kind of like that. It's like, well, I mean, it can be as long as the whole season you want it to be, but like that week leading up to it, especially, was almost like every day we basically had something that was happening Christmas wise.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
On Christmas, like, so on the 22nd, we had one of Beth's friends who lives up in New York City, like one of her just like lifelong best friends was in town. So her and her husband came over and, you know, we just had Chipotle and hung out and they played with the kids and that was fun. I was like, oh my God, we got to see those guys. That was really good. And then the next day, Christmas Eve, like Beth's entire side of the family came to like our house. And that was sort of like everyone's like big group Christmas there.
Cool.
And that was really fun. You know, I get to hang out with everyone and, you know, just chat and stuff. And then Christmas Eve morning, we had other friends from out of town. We did like a little like brunch thing. And that was really fun. You know, just get to see people who like, you know, they were out of town, but everyone happened to be in town at once. And I'm like looking around and like, I always remember like one of the, like when we got married, there was always like that. We've talked about like, it's hard to like invite people. Like, cause there's like Venn diagrams of like, oh, if I invite this person, I have to invite this whole section of people.
Yes, yes, or whatever. Yes, yep, yep.
Yeah. So, but like it had occurred to me that like by the time we got to Christmas Day, we had at least seen all but one of like Beth's bridesmaids over the course of like,
no way.
Over the course of like 4 days.
That's impressive.
You know, as scattered as everyone kind of becomes, there's like one girl who lives in Texas, but everyone else we managed to see before then. And then like even by the end of Christmas Day, I think the same was true of pretty much everyone on the my side as well, minus our friend John, who lives in North Carolina.
I don't yes.
think was in town.
Yeah.
It was like, man, it just made me feel like, man, we really chose the right people to be in our wedding, and like they're still in our lives and like they're still important to us. And like that was really kind of cool.
That is kind of amazing. Yeah. Like yeah. that's like one of those things, like, especially when you're going through like the marriage process and like picking who those people are going to yeah. be like to be up there beside you. It's like the thing that people always say is like, not the people who are important, you know, up in your life till now, but the people you want to be important going forward. And yeah. I mean, it's easy. I mean, it's a neat little like sentiment to express. It's a hard thing to like actually execute.
It absolutely is.
Cause yeah. you just don't know like which direction people's lives are going to go.
Yeah. But so like, because it's like, so because we had so many tiny little things, like, you know, the kids sort of got like, you know, oh, another present here, another present there, a different toy here. And like, you know, we're kind of opening stuff even before we even get to Christmas, you know,
yeah.
that they're kind of playing with. And then, which was a lot of fun. And then on Christmas Eve, of course, like Luke is of the age where he is just like, you know, he's like so excited for the morning. Like,
yes.
you know, Nick and Nate are excited, but they don't like have the, maybe like the overall awareness of that, like, oh my God, tomorrow's Christmas. Like I just, oh, I can't wait.
Right.
And
right,
so
right, right.
It was like Christmas Eve. And I think Luke probably came in our room like 3 or 4 times throughout the night, and you could just tell he's just like so excited, and he just like cannot sleep, and he's like, oh, I had a bad dream, or I can't go back to sleep, or like you said we were waking up extra early for Christmas, like it's like 3 a.m. and it's like, yeah, I'm at like 6, you know. And he's like, you know, like he's like, how long is that? It's like 3 more hours. And he's just, you know, he like climbs in bed next to you, and you can tell he's just having one of those like classic little little kid nights where he is thinking about it so much. And, you know, you're like laying there and he'll roll over. He's like, has it been 3 hours yet? And you're like, it's been 1 minute, you know?
like, not even close. 180 more of those.
Yeah, like, you can just tell that every second of waiting is just, like, taking forever to him. And so it's like, you know, it's frustrating. Like, in a little, you know, you're laying there and, like, on any other night, it would be frustrating that, like, he's interrupting your sleep or, like, kind of kicking around in bed. Or you have to, like, keep go tucking him back in. But it's like, it's Christmas, and it's like, this is exactly what you want, isn't it? Like, this is like the magic happening where you're like that little kid who cannot wait the next morning. It's like so cute that he was so, like, just like, you know, hyped up on it.
Yes.
Really fun. So it was like, honestly, it was like the further we got into it, I was just like, this is just like the best Christmas, like, maybe I've ever had. It's like, oh, man, all the kids that. Were like, I know, I was like, is that like, I'm like trying to think about it. I'm like, this might be, you know, like, so far anyway. And like, all, cause like all the kids were just like old enough to really be there and be excited. And then, you know, we went to mom and dad's, we had a really good breakfast and everyone was having fun there and all that. And I think, yeah, it was like, so definitely like one of the just top Christmases, like, of my whole life, which was really great. For just the build up to it, the day of, I would say not at all the week following. It stopped at Christmas. Not for anything like that. Well, sort of. I mean, the following week for Christmas, which we were saying I was looking forward to so much.
Because I know, yeah. We
take the week off. We're just going to be at home with the kids. Like, I've had so much fun getting up to Christmas. Everyone, you know, we have all these new toys to play with. And, like, I'm like, you know, this is going to be great. You know, we can go to all these places. And I had, like, just like a whole list of things I wanted to do during this week. I'd gotten you, like, pickleball rackets. I was like, you know, well, maybe we'll go play. Maybe we'll go play someday, you know? Maybe I'll go play some Pokemon one day. We're going to go watch the Hokies play Buffalo Wild Wings. That'll just be, like, a nice chill thing to go do.
Yep. They won, by the way.
They did win, by the way. Woo, go Hokies. First bowl game win since, like, 2016 or something.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Gosh.
Crazy stat.
Unbelievable that it took them that long. Anyway. Not important. The important thing is that what really started to hamper this week was that all five members of my family got COVID.
Yeah.
And it was just like, God, this is the... I could not believe it. I couldn't, like... I mean, because Nick and Nate just had it, like, in November. Like, I couldn't believe they got it again.
I mean, the family group chat was like, it was so hard to see every single day because, like, you know, it was just like, okay, now this person's down. Now this person's down. Luke's the last one standing. And then it was like the next day, it's like, Luke's gone down. It's Luke's just like, come on, man.
I know. It was terrible. So myself included. Fortunately, I will say it seems like the vaccines are at least definitely doing their work and stuff. Like, I had like pretty like a severe headache for like 6 hours or so, and I mean like bad, like where I was like, oh my gosh, every second is agony. Like, I don't know how I'm going to, like,
you have like the exact opposite experience,
the exact opposite of waiting for Christmas. I'm like, there's no, like, if this is going to last for like days, like, I don't know how I'm gonna do it. Like, it is that, like, what am I gonna do, because it's that bad. It made me like 100% confirmed that when at your wedding, when I got sick, it was like definitely just COVID, because it was the exact same experience, except that experience lasted 4 days and this lasted like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And man, I mean, otherwise, just beat for beat, the same thing. It was terrible.
I know. It's just, I mean, that, and I've had the same thought a couple of times as well, which we're coming up on 4 years this Saturday since that occasion, which is kind of fun. So happy anniversary to Alice, by the way.
Yay.
But yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's like, it was like the whole wedding party. Talking about those, like, every single, like, I think out of like I think we had like 70 people at our wedding total, but I think like 48 people got sick. I mean, it was just like, this is so, I mean, it didn't wreck the experience because it was such a magical day, but it was also just like, oh, this is so painful.
Yeah. The follow up, just rough.
I know. But are you feeling better?
I'm feeling better. Thankfully. Yeah. I had like one, like, yeah, day of just like, you know, fever, and then like the headache came on really strong at night. But when I woke up the next morning, fever gone, headache gone. I've been maybe a little congested, but otherwise I've been feeling good for like 5 or 6 days now.
That's good.
Which is good. And the kids all seem like their fevers broke a while ago as well. Beth has maintained like a low fever, and God, poor Beth. She woke up one morning with like pink eye as well, just on top of it all.
Oh,
just
no.
Like, why? What did we do?
I know. Yeah. It's like a knock on all sorts of wood. I feel like I don't think I've ever had pink eye in my life, but like it seems miserable.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like crusty, goopy eye situation.
Not great.
Anyway, the only maybe silver lining is that we're just getting rid of it all before we go on the cruise.
There you go. Just clearing house.
Cleared out.
Yep.
I'll be healthy.
There you go. So this will be very interesting as we enter 2025, 1 year from now, to come back to this episode and be like, oh yeah, that's right, you guys were getting over COVID.
Oh yeah,
good times. But also I feel like a great place to I don't even know if it is the best. It's like pink eye, all right guys, thanks for listening,
see ya.
But anyway, I feel like we went long, which I almost anticipated, because I was like, Jay and I really haven't talked for like a full week, which is very unusual for us. So anyway, it was great to catch up. Hope everybody had a successful, happy, and healthy holiday season and entering the new year. You know, if you've got any fun or exciting New Year's resolutions, are you gonna drink a smoothie a day or do something fun, be sure to send any feedback you might have to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. We've got a variety of tiers with a whole myriad of different fun perks associated with them. So patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, guys, until next time,
pop pop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.